Do 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 do. Good evening. It's time for Bedtime Stories with Thompson. And we're reading from The Swiss Family Robinson by Johann Wyss. We were in chapter 11 when we had to stop. We ran out of time, but this is the rest of chapter 11. The ostrich hunt continues. "Send your eagle after them, Fritz," I commanded. Fritz removed the hood from the eagle's head and threw the bird up in the air. The eagle quickly lit upon the head of the male ostrich, which we recognized by its beautiful white tail feathers. Attacking its eyes, the eagle brought the ostrich to the ground with a thud. As we rushed up, we saw that the big bird was dead. "What a pity," Fritz said. "He would have looked so grand strutting among our animals." "Hurry over there," cried Jack. "I've found an ostrich nest with 30 eggs in it. Let's take them home and hatch them." "Impossible," said Fritz. "Why, each egg weighs 3 pounds. There is no way we could carry them across the desert." "Then we shall have to return another time," said Jack. "For now, each of us can take one egg. That's the solution." As we trooped home, we saw herds of buffalo, monkeys, and antelope in the distance. Finally, we came to an oasis with green grass and clear, cold water. "We will call this lovely spot Green Valley," I said. As we rested and refreshed ourselves, we suddenly heard two horrible howls and a cry of distress from Ernest, who had wandered ahead. A moment later, he appeared, running toward us at full speed, his face deadly white. "Bears! Bears!" he screamed. "They are following me!" And the poor boy fell in my arms, more dead than alive. End of chapter 11. And chapter 12.
Who is dead?
Capturing the world's biggest bird. Shivers ran up and down my spine as I watched two enormous brown bears staggered toward me. "Keep still, boys," I whispered. "Prepare to fire." Fritz, with courage far beyond his years, took his place beside me. Behind us, Jack raised his gun, while Ernest, who had dropped his weapon in his terror, ran away. "Fire!" I cried, and we all fired together. Although we did not kill the bears, we broke the jaw of one and fractured the shoulder of the other. Turk and Flora, barking loudly, charged them. Soon the four were rolling in the dust, and the bears' blood poured in streams upon the sand. "Be careful not to shoot the dogs," I cautioned, "but move in as close as you can. Aim right at the bears' heads and shoot to kill. Now fire!" This time our teamwork was successful. The huge animals reared back on their hind legs, uttered one agonizing cry, and fell dead. This time our teamwork was successful. The huge animals reared back on their hind legs, uttered one agonizing cry, and fell dead. We devoted most of the next day to skinning the bears and preserving their meat, which we smoked and stored for use during the rainy season. We then collected about 100 pounds of grease and stored it in bamboo canes to use for cooking or on bread in place of butter. The bears' carcasses we tossed to the dogs, who ravenously picked the bones clean. Our last chore was to clean the soft, furry skins, which we presented to Elizabeth to use as coverlets for our beds or as rugs before our roaring fires at night. Looking up from the pile of skins, I said, "I'm afraid this has been tedious work. Why don't you boys relax and afterwards make your own expedition into the desert?" "Good idea," said Jack and Fritz. "Maybe we could catch some of those antelope we saw before."
"Count me out," said Ernest. "Those bears really exhausted me."
"Let me go too," begged Francis. And so it was decided. Jack and Francis rode off on our buffalo, whom we called Storm, and Fritz was mounted on Lightfoot. Elizabeth and I watched as they rode out of camp. Then we began the cleanup detail. As evening approached, we gathered around our hearth, where Elizabeth was cooking two bears' paws. Just as we were about to sit down to eat, the boys came in from hunting. "We had a great chase, Papa," cried Jack. "Look at these magnificent Angora rabbits and the beautiful cuckoo bird that Fritz's eagle captured for us." "That's not all," added Fritz. "We have taken a whole troop of antelope prisoners. I thought we could take all our new animals to Shark Island, where they can run loose. Then we can hunt and tame them whenever we please."
"I'm certainly glad to hear that," said Elizabeth, petting the fluffy white rabbits. "Otherwise, these two will eat all the vegetables in my garden.
As the rabbits multiply, they will furnish us many a tasty meal and many a warm fur hat," I said.
Say, did you boys pass by the ostrich's nest by any chance?
No, Papa, we didn't get that far today, Fritz said.
Then I think we'd better go back tomorrow. I need to collect more sap from the rubber tree anyway. The next morning, we set off on Lightfoot and her young colt, Rapid, who had joined our little family only months before. We passed through Green Valley and made our way across the sand to the giant rock, which we now called Arab's Tower. When we reached the nest, we saw four ostriches, three females and a male, rise and come toward us. This time, Fritz had muzzled the dogs and taped the eagle's beak shut so that they would not kill the birds. I seized a long string with balls on the end of it, and twirling it over my head, lassoed the male ostrich. Unfortunately, I only succeeded in pinning his wings to his sides. The frightened bird turned round and round, using his long legs in a frantic effort to escape. At this point, Fritz released his eagle, who pounced upon the ostrich and lifted him up in the air. Jack threw the string so skillfully that the bird fell helplessly to the ground. "Hooray! Hooray!" the boys shouted in great joy, pleased to have finally captured the biggest bird in the world. The ostrich's arrival at Felsenheim was a time of great excitement. At first he was quite violent, pecking everyone who touched him and refusing to eat. Then Elizabeth made some tidbits of corn and butter, which we poked down his throat. He loved them, and from that time on he ate everything in sight. In the weeks to come, we tamed him and taught him to carry a rider. Soon he and the boys were galloping all over the island. We had brought back, along with a new supply of sap from the rubber tree, six ostrich eggs. These were placed in an artificial nest of cotton and put in the oven. In time, three of them actually hatched, but they were the drollest-looking birds we had ever seen. They looked more like fuzzy ducks walking on stilts than ostriches. However, we fed them well and took good care of them. We used their shells for elegant vases, which I put on large wooden pedestals. Elizabeth kept them filled with fragrant flowers. End of chapter 12. Oh, that was good.
Coming up next, chapter
13.
What's
the K-Jack? Good night.